Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Jenny's Real Talk on the Block with Jennifer DeVoe, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome all you entertainment holics out there in Radio Land. It is time yet again for another thrilling, exciting installment of, you guessed it, Jenny's Real Talk on the Block, coming at you live each and every Wednesday afternoon from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Out here in lovely Sherman Oaks, California, from LA Talk Radio. We're also on iHeartRadio, iTunes, YouTube, Spreaker, SoundCloud, Sonos, Google Play, and all Amazon Alexa devices. And Sirius XM Radio, I'm coming for you this year.
Yeah.
And we'll be on there. And anyway, this is all being brought to you by Get Real Global Entertainment. And hello, this is my wonderful co-host, and business partner, and aka the husband, James Muse.
What's up, baby? How you doing?
Good. How are you today?
Hello, listeners. What's happening?
Yes. Hopefully, we have a lot of listeners today.
Hopefully.
Yes, I put it out on Facebook and everywhere. But this is going to get rebroadcast on Friday nights from 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And then we got lots of other things coming up. Jenny's going to be going to another radio station. Also, we're still going to be here. Still going to have Jenny's Real
Talk. We're not moving. We're just getting in another show.
An additional show to this one.
Yes.
Yes. That was
building the empire.
Yes, building the entertainment empire, as I like to say. I've been wanting an entertainment empire for a long time now, and yes, I'm just going to keep doing this until I get what I want. But Jenny's Real Rock, R-A-W-K, will be coming at you every Tuesday night, 9 p.m. To 10 p- 9 to 10 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Rock Rage Radio. Go to rockrageradio.com, and you can listen to us every Los Angeles. We're in Los Angeles. It's Rock Rage Radio, Los Angeles.
Los Angeles.
Yes. We're going to try to hype things up here in the L.A. area, get things going.
In the rock scene.
Yes, and we had some really great things over the last, before I introduce our guest for today. We've had a lot of really great things going on this last week since our last broadcast. Last week, as you know, we celebrated our one-year anniversary of Jenny's Real Talk on the Block on March 7th. So that was an awesome day for us.
Yeah.
And we had two really great, incredible guests in the studio with us last week. We had some really great plans. Who did we have, baby?
We had Carlton Bass from
Boss
from Orgy.
Yeah.
And we had Mr. Michael Albert, a famous guitarist who's toured and played with bands and famous musicians from around the world. Since the 70s.
And yes, and including including Megadeth. So yes, he's very very well versed, and check him out. He's
different genres.
Yes, he plays many different genres of music, which is awesome. Great guitarist.
Yes,
very wonderful music. We heard some of his new stuff that they got coming out. I'm trying to remember the name of the band that they were talking about. I know he's going to do the Mike Albert project, but that's outside of what they were doing. They have another project that they were working on. The guy who,
his name is Dennis.
I just don't remember the name of the actual band that they're working on with.
I remember he was saying something about a classical violinist he was going to work with.
That's Shankar. Shankar.
Whatever. That's what I'm saying. How much of a genre jump can you go? What is it? Megadeth or Motorhead or something?
Megadeth.
He was with Megadeth, and now he's playing the guitar with.
He almost toured with the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah.
He almost toured with Alice Cooper. I mean, he's that good of a guitarist that he was, picked by these people to actually tour.
Maybe he can switch genres. Great he is.
That's what I'm saying.
So this one genre is
this
great.
Guy is, but no, but he can yeah, multiverse. Yeah, he played with the Escovedos.
Yeah,
which is, you know,
that's Cuban, Latin, like jazz Latin type.
Yeah, right. So that's what I'm saying. He can play a lot of different stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Go for a regular classical, like classic rock to heavy metal to, you know, Latin, you know, all kinds of different stuff.
Yeah,
which is awesome. We like that. So thank you guys for being on the show last week.
Really appreciate it.
Orgy plays at the Whiskey A Go-Go on May 11th. So go check it out. We'll be down there. I know I will be. I'm sure the husband will be.
Yeah, of
Pretty
course.
Much anywhere I go, he goes. I mean, as far as concerts go, I don't know about everything else.
But not everywhere.
Not everywhere, no. But yeah. But that, yes. Yeah, so we'll go see them. Go, come on down, hang out with Jenny's Real Talk on the Block down at the Whiskey A Go-Go on May 11th.
West Hollywood.
Yes, with West Hollywood.
World famous.
With our, yes, world famous. With our awesome friends, you know, from Orgy.
Yeah.
So.
Very nice guys.
Yes, awesome guys. Love you guys. So, and then.
Check their music out.
Yes, check, definitely. Yes, orgymusic.com. You can go find them at Orgy Music on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And give a shout out to Jay Gordon, lead singer, the band's manager, which is Jay Gordon's dad, Lou Gordon. Mm-hmm. We love you, guy.
Yes.
Thank you for always hooking us up with awesome shows and just being you and introducing me to so many people in the industry.
Thank you.
You're an awesome guy, and we thank you for everything that you do. So shout out to Lou Gordon from Orgy and all the guys. We love y'all. All of you. Every one of you. Including the new drummer, Rainin.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know if he's going to be a different style or what, or we'll see.
Yeah,
I'm interested to see.
Probably when they get together and start playing more. I'm interested to see that. Learn each other's.
Yes, I'm interested to see that. Well, styles. We'll see. Last Wednesday, before the guest comes on, we're going to do this quick. Last Wednesday, we saw the Architects.
Yeah.
Heavy metal band from the UK. Fonda Theater in Hollywood. Thank you to Allison Cohen of MBM Music LLC. That's Metal Babe Mayhem. And also, thank you.
Oops.
Yeah.
That's the Rick Perry right there.
Don't do that. Anyway, and
I ain't trying to, man.
Okay, but that was a great concert. Really great show. Thank you to Golden Voice for that also. Just thank you to everybody involved. We love you. Yes. Thank you to the Fonda Theater. Thank you to all of you. Great show. Great concert. No offense. I couldn't really understand much of a word they said, but it was really incredible music.
A lot of people were there.
A lot. The place was packed.
Almost sold out.
The place was pretty damn packed.
Yeah.
They have over 800,000 fans across the world, I guess. So they're pretty damn big. Big
they
band.
Had a lot of people.
Yes,
I wouldn't a lot expect of people. This. You know, something with a group you never heard of, and it's
they
just like, wow.
They brought the thunder, so that's good. Let's see, that was a great show last Wednesday night. We saw that was a great way to round out our 1 year anniversary night. You know, so had a good time. Alcohol, pot were involved. Anyway, so
that's all the time almost.
Pretty much, but still, I just wanted to mention that. And then Friday night, we went to see at the Whiskey A Go-Go, which is one of our favorite venues in the entire world. We saw Slant, which is our buddies from Slant. They've been on the show twice now.
Yeah, check out that was really good.
Incredible music. I love their songs. And they did a really great rendition of U2's With or Without You.
Yeah.
So really great job. I love these guys. They're buddies now. They're like family. So thank you, Slant, for the great show. Thank you to Josh Lurgs. Lurgs is what we call him.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you to Lurgs for the great tickets and the great show last Friday night. At the Whiskey.
Wasn't there a group after that?
And then, of course, we went to see Alien Ant Farm. But
yeah.
So, all right. We've got our caller calling in. Hello. You're on the air with Jenny's Real Talk on the Block.
Yeah. Hi. Hi. Is this JJ?
This is Jenny. Is this Michael Priv?
Oh, this is Jenny. Yes, that's me. Yes.
Hi.
Hello, Jenny.
Yes, hi. This is our guest, Michael Priv, author of what looks to be like a really incredible book, which I really want to read, The Fifth Battalion.
Hello, Michael.
Liked the description of the book. Yeah, I liked the description of the book. And I was told that you you're from the Ukraine, from the Soviet.
Ooh.
Yes. Originally, yes.
And you had some interesting stories there. So wow. Desiree Duffy of Black Chateau Enterprises sent Michael over to us today.
Ooh.
He's awesome. Looks like a great book. You're in San Francisco now, is what I see.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
How long have you been up there?
Since about 2005.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
All right.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. And how long have you been writing books? Like, how long have you been involved in this type of a career?
Well, I mean, not really a career. Maybe it will become one someday. But yeah, I've been writing since 2008. We had a crash in 2008, which was great, you know. I ended up with a lot of free time on my hands, and I started writing, and I wrote the first novel I did was Friends of Fred, which was pretty good. I mean, it's still selling. It never advertised anywhere. It's just on Amazon, but, you know, I do get some royalties now and then, and amazing as it seems, you know.
And what's Friends of Fred about? Tell us just briefly about
Friends of Fred. Friends of Fred is an autobiography. It's a memoir of how I left Russia and arrived to the United States, to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Well, and also adventures on the way, which took about 4.5 months between leaving Russia and arriving to the U.S., which, of course, you know, I had to survive during that time in Europe with no money and no documents and all that. But anyways, then arriving here and, you know, different adventures. It's a lot of fun, actually. It's mostly humorous, even though there are some, you know, nerve-wracking experiences in there as well.
Wow.
Ooh.
That sounds like it would be a really good book.
Yeah.
Wouldn't mind checking that one out
as
well.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, the new book that you've been writing, looks like it's more of a sci-fi type novel, a thriller novel. Not thriller, but sci-fi, right?
Yes. Well, it's a thriller. It's an action thriller, sci-fi novel. Yes, it's already finished. It's released. I finished the screenplay. I mean, it's like moving full blast. It's selling on Amazon, and now I have a screenplay. So, you know, Hollywood, here I come.
Yes. Wow, good.
Well, congratulations. I hope you get it.
Yeah.
I would love to read this book. Just the when I was reading the description of the book that Desiree sent over to me, that I posted on social media, I thought it was very interesting what it was about. The book's called The Fifth Battalion. What would you say that this book is about?
Well, it's about 2,000 troops of the ancient failed invasion of Earth of 5,000 years ago that were killed off here on Earth, and they're here with us, and they're reincarnating with humans into human bodies and so forth, and they've been living with us for the last 5,000 years, always trying to escape from here. Escaping is kind of difficult because this planet, according to my book, which is, of course, I'm the top authority on this subject, is a prison planet. Basically being in a prison and having certain protective screens around Earth, and the guards also who are keeping low profile so as to not to alert the population to their presence because they're not supposed to know that they're in prison and so forth. So escaping from Earth is very difficult. So these 2,000 troops, they have quite a predicament, and this entire book is about their last escape attempt from Earth, which was successful, you know, in the end, and so forth. And there is a protagonist who is a gunnery sergeant from that failed invasion by the name Norman Bolstad, who lives in San Francisco, and he is lab clerk, basically, a chemist type thing.
Oh, okay.
And his girlfriend Linda, And and they played a key part in this escape. And the book is full of fights and shootouts and car chases and full-blown military operations and special forces. You know, it's fun. It's a fun book.
That sounds like it.
Yeah.
That's what I was telling my husband this morning. I said, it looks like a book I would actually want to really read.
Yeah.
I would take the time to read it.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's fun, but actually, I didn't just write it as fun, you know, as such. I wanted to actually impart some ideas, some, you know, spiritual ideas, like that we don't necessarily only live once, and there is more to this reality, and here are some things that would explain some things, you know. And also, I have some stuff in there that's a little deeper than just fun, like, for example, so there are different people, different type of beings in there. There are, you know, extraterrestrials, and there are humans who are all convicts, according to my book. So there are convicts, there are guards, which is different types of extraterrestrials who are basically hiding in here in plain sight, and so forth. There is Russian mafia goons. There are, you know, yeah.
I like that.
Very interesting.
Yeah, there are paratroopers, there are this and that. And they all, if you get to know them a little better, which I do try to provide, they actually all, you know, they could all get along just great. You can recognize yourself in any of them, you know. They're all kind of basically good, and this good actually shines through. Even the villains in that book are, you know, they're motivated by a sense of duty, and they really think they're doing the right thing and so forth. You know, even though they're not, you know, so the only sin in this book is blind obedience to orders. So we have these militaries of various countries and so forth. None of them have the slightest clue of what the hell is going on, but they sure go flat out killing each other and just, you know, it's just like an unstoppable machine, even though none of them know what's going on at all, you know. So this is playing out in there, just blind obedience to orders, you know. So there are some ideas. There is a romance line in there. So these beings, they're immortal, well, just like Earth people, but Earth people are made to not remember their other lives and so forth, but they remember just fine. And so we're talking about a romance story between two beings, that's been going on for millions of years, and they find each other in different reincarnations, and there are flashbacks to their romance novel. And so what I was trying to really kind of research, or kind of like understand, what would a perfect relationship look like, you know, if all the insecurities are ironed out over the ages and nobody cares, nobody's proving anything to anybody, you know. No, everybody's right. Nobody, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And that is quite a relationship that you can have that way if that was the case, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, so there is a romance novel in there. There is some sex. There is some this and that. Yeah.
We like sex.
It's a good book.
Yeah. Well, it looks like you have a really interesting background coming from Russia. And Desiree says that you should talk to you about your time in Russia. Says getting beaten up by the KGB and chased by the Russian
Holy
mafia.
Shit.
That sounds like craziness.
Yes.
You want to talk a little bit more about that? Does that? Would you say that a lot of the stuff that you've lived through, like in that aspect, has like bled into your writing?
Well, yeah. Well, in a way, I guess, you know, it's a little deeper, but basically, okay. So here's the situation. So I was there on a business trip for 2 years, from the beginning of 92 until the end of 93. When I was growing up in there, I left when I was 19.
Okay.
I had different adventures and this and that, but I never had anything to do with mafia or the KGB. But then I came back on a business trip for the company I was working for at the time, and I was there for 2 years representing that company. January 92 until November 93. So during that time, yeah, as a representative of a U.S. company, you know, I was hit by the mafia several times for like extortion, you know, for protection money.
Wow.
And And the only way I found to get rid of them was to introduce them to the KGB, who was always following me. So as soon as I would basically show them that I'm being followed, you know, they would leave me alone. But I did get in a little kerfuffle once when they basically cornered me in the lobby of my apartment building where I lived and beat the crap out of me. Thanks. Once, you know. You know, but yeah, the way I always handled that was just basically I would just lead them on and have them follow me, and they would always spot the tail and they would just disappear. So that wasn't necessarily all that dangerous. You know, KGB itself wasn't dangerous either until October of 93, when they got serious about me. So they were following me and, you know, listening in and so forth, like the, you know, surveillance and so forth. And they accumulated quite a lot of information about me that I wish they didn't, you know. And so then they confronted me in October of 93, trying to blackmail me with different little things that I did. Like, for example, I would travel to different cities and have fun in Russia, you know, but my visa was only good for Moscow. And it said on the front in big letters that I am supposed to register with their immigration service, which is called OVIR, within 24 hours upon arrival, and I can't leave Moscow. And if I leave Moscow, I have to register with OVIR that I am leaving Moscow, and then register within 24 hours in the new place where I arrive, that I just arrived, and then register in there that I am leaving, and then register again when I come to Moscow. So, of course, a normal person like me would never do anything like that.
Jeez.
So I never did that. So I thought it was fine, but it was 17 counts of that. You know, there was different labor violations and tax violations and all kinds of interesting little problems, you know, which probably all add up to about $40 in fines or something, you know. But they blew it out of proportion completely, and basically they tried to recruit me. It was kind of hairy. It was, you know, there were some beatings, like these beatings are mostly not so bad. I grew up in Russia, you know, it's not like, you know, not such a huge deal, you know, but I did get a couple ribs broken, and also I couldn't chew for about 5 days, which was like, you know, excruciating kind of thing. I mean, all you can do is just drink milk, you know.
Whoa, that's hardcore. That's crazy.
But you know, one thing that I kind of got out of that whole, and then my company finally sent a couple of lawyers to get me out, and I was out of there immediately, you know. Wow. And that was the end of that, and everything was good, you know. But one thing I kind of got out of this is I have more power than I think, you know. Like,
right.
I can live through this. I can do it, you know. I can do it, you know. Bring it on. It's right. Nothing. You know, what's a couple busted ribs? Like, honestly, you know? Like, a couple weeks later, I could hardly remember anything happened. You know, there is a lot more strength and power in there than it seems. You know, you just need to, like, know that it's there and, you know, also find a way to maximize it, which I found. The way to maximize this power is hold your position. You know, it's kind of one thing that I get out of it. You can hold your position and let things happen, you know, and you just hold your position. You don't fly around with the current and with the circumstances and don't try this and don't try that and oh my God, you know. No, you just hold your position. You know, basically, I was telling these guys, and there were up to five people interrogating me, anywhere between two to five, you know, and it was scary and this and that, and I always told them the exact same thing, you know,
right.
The exact same thing. I had three or four pet sentences, and I was just saying those, and that's it, you know, and one of them was, of course, that I want the U.S., you know, representative from the U.S. embassy present, or I'm not talking. And that, you know, a few threats that I was, you know, always threatening them and stuff like that. And I was always saying the same thing, you know. And this just by itself, that I was holding my position, I felt more powerful, you know. Like, honestly, by the time the lawyers came and stuff like that, I was I felt more powerful than when I started with them. When I started with them, I was scared out of my mind. I was completely terrified. But then after 3 weeks of this ordeal, you know, I actually felt I can take it, you know.
Hmm. Wow. 3 weeks.
You know,
that's
so
crazy.
So, yeah.
I'm glad we don't have to go through that.
So
I'm trying
to relate in my book as well. You know, there's some of that in there. There's a lot of spiritual kind of stuff in there.
I like that, though. I mean, that you have a lot of different things going on in the book. I mean, as far as the message, as far as the characters, the the premise of the book, how you have all kinds of... I like how you have all different genders, religions, ages, species from different planets, different races, all that, just like they're here, is here, you know, on... Well, just even in Los Angeles, but... In the world in general, but in America we have a melting pot. We have everything here, so I mean, I just wish we got along better.
Yeah,
that would just be better.
Yeah.
We need better leaders. That's why.
Yeah, well.
Yes. Better leaders, but we need to have a deeper understanding that we are all the same kind of people, and we can definitely get along. Like it used to be just. You know, different races or classes and stuff. Now we have different parties, you know, like there is like a huge, 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 unbelievable difference that people can't cross between Republicans and Democrats nowadays. I even heard that there is no cross marriages between Republicans and Democrats. Like out of 800 couples, there was no cross marriages, you know, at random.
Wow.
You know,
yeah.
Stuff like that. Well, you know,
we're the
I
same.
Understand.
My husband and I are the same. I mean, we're of the same, mind or whatever.
Political views.
This makes it easier.
So I'm just saying that we have a lot in common. We could actually get along if we wanted.
I mean, if people weren't so hell bent stuck on their beliefs and like that their beliefs are the only beliefs on the planet. I mean, everybody's got different beliefs or whatever, but. I mean, there's ways to get along with other people. I mean, you don't have to be so adamant about your beliefs. To where it disrupts your household, your friendships, your relationships.
Yeah.
You know, your work relationships or partnerships. You can't let it bleed into that stuff because it's just stupid. Because at the end of the day, that just doesn't mean a hill of beans to anything. You know,
compared to everything else,
things in life, you know, like poverty, homelessness, starvation, other things. You know, there's so many things in the world that are so much worse than what your stupid political views are.
Yeah.
Because
we all want the same thing.
Yeah, there's more things to worry about at this stage in the game than, you know. What my personal, religious or political beliefs are.
Right, right.
And I mean, I don't. How do you view that? You've been all over the world. You've lived in different places, traveled. You've seen things. I mean, how do you feel about that?
Who me? You're asking me?
Mm-hmm, yes.
Yeah. Well, I feel that the most important thing in life is a game. I feel that we all want a game, and game also means conflict. So we like conflicts, we like sports, we even like wars. You know, people like hate wars, people love wars, people fight wars nonstop, and they keep hating them all the time, you know. Right. But basically, they want conflicts, and they want somebody is wrong, somebody is right, take this position, you know. Sometimes we take some position just because somebody else has the opposite position, so we just want to, we want to have a game going. But we can't lose sight of more important things. Like, for example, let's say, my son has completely different political views than mine and gun laws views and all kinds of views. They're completely different than mine, for example, right? And I just hate it, and I don't talk to my son, and there is a lot of animosity going on, and stuff like that, and all that, you know? Now, suddenly, something happens to him. Now, where does it all go? All these differences, all this just all forgotten completely, immediately, you know? The only important thing is now is to help him make sure, you know, he's fine and stuff like that. So where did it all go, you know? It all comes from nothing.
Exactly.
Just from this obsession we have with having games and plays and conflicts, you know?
It's a waste of
breath. That's what I think.
It's a waste of breath.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I don't know, it just kind of reminds me of an episode of Jerry Springer. Life is like an episode of Jerry Springer. Everybody wants drama. Everybody wants to go blah 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 and have the last word. And I just think it's just stupid. And I don't know. Personally, as the older I get, the less I care.
Nah.
You know, I'm 45 now. I don't give a crap about any of that stuff. Having the last word, arguing about anything. I don't like drama. I like my house to be quiet, you know. I've seen enough things in this life, been through enough stuff that I don't want to go there. It's not worth my time. I value things that are more important, like my friends, my family, you know, hanging out and having a good time with them and just, you know, living life and appreciating every moment.
Right.
I just wish more people could do that.
Yeah. Yep.
Jenny's philosophy for the day. I mean, but you've had a very interesting life, and I really think a lot of what you've been through personally, it comes into your writing. I mean, I'm looking at the description of your life, and then I'm looking at the description of your book, and it's like a lot of this stuff. I mean, like, think about it. A lot of I don't know about present day Russia, but back in the day, it was a lot of like gulag and, you know, throwing people in prison, and like you said, you know, the KGB and the all of the politics and the just, you know, but I see here like people are incarcerated, the planet's like imprisoned, and some of the, I don't know, some of the way you talk about some of these things, it just kind of sounds like that type of environment.
Yeah.
Like you're not allowed to do what you want to do when you want to do it. You can't go where you want to go when you want to go there. And you're imprisoned, and you have to be stuck in a certain place. I don't know.
Yeah. Soviet Union was like that. I'm not sure how it is now. It's probably better, but probably in some ways it's not. But it used to be like that. It was a very, very poor country where there were many stupid laws, like completely unbelievably stupid laws, because there was no private enterprise.
Okay.
So you're not making any money at work, but you're not allowed to make any money on the side because you go to jail. But actually, you don't go to jail, but you just have to pay bribes all the time, you know? So it's kind of like always like that.
See, I'm always interested to hear about this kind of stuff because my son's father was Russian. Russian Jewish man, and God bless him. And his soul. I mean, he passed a long time ago, but he was a crazy, crazy man. No offense, a lot of you Russians are crazy fuckers. I just got to say that.
Yeah.
His mother, Galina Nazarova. That woman is nuttier than, I swear to God. Oh, she's crazy. And passionate and like, you know, just go off on you. Oh, it's just nuts. You guys are wonderful people, but God bless you. Oh, crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy. And my son, my son, God bless him, he got the crazy gene from me and his father. So, yeah, he's double cursed. Double cursed. I'm Irish. I'm Irish. We're crazy as fuck. And then, you know, you Russians. That's not a good mix. So, you know, my son got kind of, you know, fucked, basically. anyway, what do you want to ask? My husband wants to ask.
I want to ask him about, like, I see, like, the pictures, I guess, of is that the Red Square or the Kremlin? They got the real nice-looking buildings, the real exotic-looking buildings. Is that the...
Uh-huh.
Is that the Kremlin, or is that just like regular buildings? Are those like government buildings? because I see him on like movies and stuff I'm trying to think of that movie Tom Cruise, I think, was in or something. I think he was in Russia or something. And it had real nice buildings and stuff like that. You know, and I just think like you ever get to go inside those type of buildings like that, or those like government buildings?
Well, yeah, no, you can go inside. Well, Kremlin itself is a government compound. It's kind of surrounded by a wall. It's an old ancient fortress, I don't know, maybe from 16th century or 17th century.
I think that's what I'm talking about.
So inside there are government buildings. Yeah, that's where the government, the president is and stuff like that. That's Kremlin. It's kind of red brick wall with a turret.
Yeah,
but then on the same square, there is a church, which is called St. Basilica, that has this ornamental kind of like onion-shaped domes.
Yeah.
Many of them like a whole cluster. Yeah. So that's a church. Basilica. That's a completely different thing. That has nothing to do with the government. It's just a church. It's a church.
No, I just see it on TV and they look really beautiful. You know, I wouldn't mind going to see it like in person and take pictures. At certain places I wouldn't mind going because they just have real nice places.
Architecture.
Like, yeah, they are natural beauty or stuff like that. And I seen that and that's like, they say that's Russia, Moscow. I said that's really nice buildings.
St. Petersburg has nice too, right?
And, okay.
I don't know about Leningrad.
St. Petersburg. Petersburg is extremely beautiful.
Yeah,
it's just unbelievable. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous place. Yep.
Yeah, St. Petersburg is one that we're going to want to go check out because a lot of the pictures I see there. Moscow is pretty, and I like St. Petersburg.
I wouldn't mind if you ever go to see, I wouldn't mind being a tourist to go
there.
Yeah,
I'm not going to Siberia, though. I have a buddy from Siberia.
Yeah, well, you'd,
I have a buddy
you'd
from
be
Siberia.
Surprised.
What shout out to Alexei Zaranova from Siberia.
He's
one of my buddies from another band.
Oh, okay.
You know, I'm actually myself from Kyiv. I'm not actually Russian. I'm actually from Ukraine. And Kyiv, put a plug in, you know. It's an unbelievable city. There was many years ago, I forgot how many, there was a president of Ukraine and who was building Ukrainian Venice in Kyiv.
Okay.
So he built a ton of canals, you know, and beautiful bridges and parks and stuff like that, was trying to create a Venice.
Oh.
So in Moscow, so somebody in Moscow found out and he was taken off immediately and nobody ever heard of him ever again.
Oh,
but
no.
It remained there. It's beautiful. It's like really beautiful. And it's also very old. It's the oldest. That's where the whole thing started around the 5th century, like about 1500 or 1600 years ago.
Wow.
And you still have buildings or like structures from that time period, which is called the Golden Gate.
That's
like old fortress, which is about 1500 years old, you know. And you have all kinds of historical stuff. I mean, it's really, really beautiful. I like Kyiv a lot more. It's also cheaper. And also it's not stuck up. It's not so stuck up. People are a lot friendlier. You know, I mean, I love Russians, you know, but I would prefer to Ukraine.
Ukraine?
Myself. Yes.
Oh. Nice.
Yeah.
I like that.
The Ukraine. So that's just west or something of Russia, I believe.
Ukraine is where it started. It's actually an interesting historical thing. So it all started with Ukraine, and they had democracy. Like 1,500 years ago, they had perfect democracy going.
Uh-huh.
You know, everybody who would get on the central square would vote on any issue, and that's it.
Wow.
And that's how they used to also elect their leaders. They vote somebody in the office, they vote somebody out of the office.
Oh,
If you were in the office and you didn't make it and they vote you out, they don't kill you, you become a second in command. So it's painless. It's okay. You know, and it was going on for many centuries, but then they also had this very strong army, which is called Cossacks.
Yes.
So they had this cavalry that was protecting the trade routes, and they had a market place that was known even all the way to the Middle East. So the Arabs used to come and sell their, you know, blankets and what you call them, carpets and all that. And it was a rich, rich, prosperous place. But there was a group of people among them who kept saying that we have the strongest army around. Why don't we just conquer the neighbors and tax them? And they would just pay us taxes and we won't have to do anything. And the assembly would get together, you know, people would get on the central square and they would outvote them every single time. Hmm. No, we are doing fine. We don't want to have bad relations with the neighbors. We are not fighting with the neighbors. What we are pushing is trade. We want the marketplaces. We want trade. We don't want any wars. Forget it. And then eventually everybody got so pissed off with this group of people who wanted, you know, to conquer the neighbors, that they told them, you know what, why don't you guys pack up and leave? You know, just go somewhere else and set up something else and do your thing over there. So this group of people, a huge group of people, moved north from there and settled on Moscow River, you know, and started a city which is called Moscow, which became a country which has in its DNA to conquer the neighbors. You know, that's what it is. And they became the biggest country in the world. They span 10 time zones. They're, you know, U.S. is only 3 time zones across.
That's crazy.
That country is absolutely huge. So it started from one little village called Moscow, on Moscow River called Moscow, and now it's the biggest country, or, well, for some centuries now, it's the biggest country in the world. So, but they're the same people as the Ukrainians. They're exactly the same people. But they kind of gave this Ukraine, this name Ukraine, which is a derogatory term. It just means a little place by the side, by the wayside over there,
off the
road, you know, like on the side of the road.
Oh, wow.
That's what Ukraine means, you know.
Whoa.
That's hilarious.
Learn something new every day.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So Ukraine never conquered anybody and became small and, you know, and Russia is huge and always conquering somebody and always thinking of ways to conquer somebody. That's how it was.
Well,
it's been going for forever.
Broken,
you know?
Now that's why it's broken up into states and it's not a big whole country anymore.
Right.
It is what it is. That's what happens when them crazy Russians try to take people over.
Totally. Totally. Drama. Lots of drama.
Yeah. That's what it was like to be with my son's father and his family. Non-stop fucking drama. Oh, sometimes you just want to bitch slap them and say, shut the fuck up.
You
sorry. When you need to spend an hour in the bathroom, you take twice as long as me to get ready. There's something wrong.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway. Well, we're going to wrap it up here, but I want to talk about the 5th Battalion before we go. When is this? This is already out on the market. Where can people buy this? Where can people find this so we can get this people to go get some? Get a copy.
Yeah.
Well, on Amazon, you know, if you just search for Michael Priev, all my stuff is in there. I have some short stories also great, you know, and I have Friends of Fred, and I have the 5th Battalion now. I released it in December. I was trying to make it for Christmas, but it actually came out on the 26th of December.
No.
But anyway.
Close enough.
Yeah, so it's on Amazon.
Okay, so Amazon, can people get you on Kindle or anywhere else?
I'm on LinkedIn and Facebook, but okay. Facebook is definitely, I love Facebook.
Yep. You should also try Instagram and Twitter.
I have a Twitter account, but I haven't looked in there. Instagram, I'm not
try
using.
Try Instagram, because Instagram is a huge up and coming, and you can get a lot of people to see your stuff on there.
Really? Okay. Yeah, thank you. I'll look into that. Absolutely.
Yeah, those are your three big platforms. Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Wow.
And then LinkedIn, of course, is also great. And so I will put your link to all your stuff up on all of our social media. And we'll also put a little special place on our website for you. It has your picture and a picture of your books and all your little stuff, your links and all your social media, whatever. And we can get people to go and check you out more from our homepage.
Thank you. You know, my picture doesn't do me justice. You know, this the beard is just a fly trap for the girls, I'm telling you. You know, I have to dye it gray a couple times a week, otherwise, you know, the black roots are showing all the time. It's terrible.
That's awesome. Well, thank you, Michael, so much. Michael Priv, P-R-I-V. Go check
thank
him
you.
Out. He's author of The 5th Battalion and Friends of Fred. So we'll have you back on the show at some point once you do the sequel to The 5th Battalion.
Oh, you talk about the screenplay, right?
Plus he's doing the screenplay.
Yeah.
So we'll be bringing you back once we have a little more, we know more what's going on.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Much appreciated. It's a pleasure.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you so much for being on the show today.
All right.
And we'll be talking to you very soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Great.
He was awesome.
Yeah.
That guy was fun. I was starting to choke here. I was like...
Very, very interesting.
Very interesting. I love talking to that guy.
Getting beaten up by the KGB, that's probably a book by itself.
I would love to have that guy on the show again.
Getting chased by the KGB? Holy smokes.
I can see the 5th Battalion maybe becoming, a movie or
something
maybe someday. Because a lot of people love sci-fi. Sci-fi channel and or sci-fi movies and whatnot. Here comes Michael Priv.
Sci-fi's always been big.
Well, we're going to mention, Metal Babe Mayhem. Go check them out. Metal Babe Mayhem. MBMLLC.com. Go check out Metal Babe Mayhem. MBM Music LLC. We're going to play a little quick blurb here from them. Listen to this.
Metal Babe Mayhem is super excited about their newest venture with MBM Music LLC. With MBM Music, we'll provide artists with a full-service platform to be seen and heard by assisting with necessary products, services, and fashion, all in an effort to increase exposure, fan base, and income. For more information, visit us at mbmmusicllc.com. That's mbmmusicllc.com. You create, we promote, plug in to the network.
It was about Alison Cohen and Metal Babe Mayhem. And don't forget to go see, please go check it out. Oh my God. If it's not already sold out, it probably already is. But Soul Rising, incredible pop rock music band, 7-piece band. Michael McBay is an awesome, awesome bassist for this band. Go check it out. If it hasn't already sold out, which probably has, they are going to be opening for Wyclef Jean at the Regent Theater in downtown Los Angeles. I know JJ and I got our tickets. We're going to go. And I know that, that Cynthia Hammer from the Hammer Away show that was on right before us will also be down there covering the broadcast. So come on down. Check it out. We're going to have a blast down there. So again, go see Soul Rising. If you have not seen these guys yet, you have to see them. And I hope that they're going to be playing more shows really soon besides just that one. And we're going to try to get them booked some more places because I would love to do PR for them and be their manager maybe someday. But right now, Michael McBay is the manager. And we're going to help them get all of their stuff going more, you know, website and social media and whatnot. Mwahaha. But go check out Soul Rising. Again, that's Soul Rising. They are an awesome pop rock band. You're going to go see them. They are freaking incredible. Go check them out on our on my Facebook page, Jennifer DeVoe. There's a video on there of them playing from back a couple weeks ago. Their industry showcase that they had. Really awesome. You've got to check it out. Soul Rising. They're going to be opening for Wyclef Jean Saturday, March 24th. That's Saturday, March 24th at the Regent Theater in downtown Los Angeles. Go to the Regent Theater website. Go to Soul Rising. I think it's soulrisingmusic.com. Go check them out. Soul Rising Band. Excuse me. Soul Rising Band. Soulrisingband.com. Go check them out. Again, shout out to Orgy from last week and Mike Albert And just shout out to all of our people. And thank you so much, Michael Priv, for being on the show today. Thank you Desiree Duffy of Black Chateau Publishing. Jenny's Real Talk on the Block will be covering the LA Times Festival of Books. We will be down there. We'll be hanging out with Desiree Duffy at the Black Chateau Enterprises booth at the LA Times Festival of Books. We'll be sitting down there. You'll see JJ and myself, Jenny, will be down there covering the event live from the location. We'll be on Spreaker, and that'll go out to all of our different things like SoundCloud and iTunes and Google Play and all of our stuff. But anyway, you've been listening to Jenny's Real Talk on the Block here on LA Talk Radio Channel 1, iHeartRadio, iTunes, YouTube, Spreaker, SoundCloud, Sonos, Google Play, and all Amazon Alexa devices. And we're out of here for another week. Next week, we have Billy Stevens, rock star, rock singer Billy Stevens, will be here next week in the studio with us. Thanks to, again, Allison Cohen.
Thank you.
Metal Babe Mayhem Metal and MBM Music, LLC. Go check it out. Go check it out. Billy Stevens, again, will be in the studios with us next week. Go check all our social media. Jenny's Real Talk on the Block on Facebook. Jenny's Real Talk on Instagram. Jenny's Real Talk on Twitter. And we're about to have our second show at another radio station. Again, we're still here. We're never leaving. We're going to be here for on Wednesdays, every Wednesday, 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We will be here every week unless it's a two-hour broadcast. But we're out of here. Our second show will be Jenny's Real Rock, R-A-W-K, on Rock Rage Radio, Los Angeles. So be prepared. All about the world of rock. So if you want to sponsor us, advertise, anything, give us a call. 818-406-1742.
We need capital.
Yes, we need money. Business ventures, capital. 818-406-1742. Give us a call. We will advertise your business. We'll advertise your band, your whatever you are. And we're out of here. We'll see you next week.
Bye. Gotta go.
Bye.
Peace out.
You're listening to Jenny's Real Talk on the Block with Jennifer DeVoe, only on LA Talk Radio.